Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our program, Clear for Takeoff, here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM, WISP, and 1420 AM, WCOJ. As we prepare for the first Sunday of Lent and our readings, my friends, let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Do you have a heart for God this morning? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And my friends, if you've answered yes to the four questions, then we are ready to engage once again in the Word of God. Our first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 4 through 10. And here it is. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders. And bringing us into this country, he gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, I have now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil, which you, O Lord, have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, we see Moses addressing the people, and he says once again, "The priest shall receive the basket from you and set it in front of the altar of the Lord your God." And so we reflect this morning on this, my friends. What are you and I bringing to the altar of the Lord? What are we giving to God? What sacrifice are we willing to make for God? What are we bringing to the table as we begin this Lenten period, my friends, for 6 weeks, which is focusing on the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us to give us access to eternal life through his life, death, and resurrection, my friends? What are you and I giving to the Lord? What are we, you know, prepared to give up, to sacrifice? It's important. And we want to make a commitment as we begin the Lenten season through prayer and fasting and helping other people. What are we prepared to do week in and week out to set a habit pattern for a great relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? A habit pattern that tells him that we are serious, we are committed, we are prepared to be finishers and follow in his footsteps. And so as we prepare for the Lenten season, once again, what is your prayer life all about today? Is it non-existent? Is it daily rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet? Do we have prayer from the heart? Are we praying blessings at the table when we eat our meals? What are we giving back to the Lord? What are we bringing to the altar each and every week to him, each and every day to the Lord? What are we giving him? And through the fasting, my friends, we make sacrifice. And we know that during Lent, we give up meat on Wednesdays. And we also eat one meal a day. And I want to just propose that you and I give up 1 to 2 hours a week and use those hours, allocate that time towards helping someone who really needs help, either in our families, our neighbors, our communities, somewhere in your circle. Can you take on one extra hour a week or 2 extra hours a week and make a difference, make an impact in the lives of other people? Just a thought. And the word goes on to say this: when the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong arm. My friends, what has the Lord brought you out of? When has the Lord heard your cry and responded to your request? What are you bringing once again to the altar of the Lord as a thank you for God bringing you through some difficult times? Have you been brought through a diagnosis of cancer and been cured? Have you been cured of addiction to alcoholism or drug abuse? Have you been exonerated and freed after being convicted falsely in the prison system somewhere in the United States? My friends, I want you to think about it. What are you bringing to the altar of the Lord this Lenten season? What are you and I prepared to do for the Lord that we haven't done before? To raise the standards, to be a little bit more generous, compassionate, understanding, patient, kind, considerate. My friends, I want you to think about raising the standard, raising the bar, and reaching further this Lenten season. Let's move to our second reading, my friends. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Romans 10, verses 8 through 13. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, what does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. For the Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, in the word from St. Paul to the Romans, we see that the Word of God is acknowledged as being important. And the Word says this through the mouth of St. Paul. What does Scripture say? He tells us that the Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, the Word of God. So I ask you the question, do we read the Word of God? Do we understand it? Do we apply it to our everyday life? How is it that we apply it? Or is it non-existent? Do we read the daily news, the newspapers, magazines, textbooks, but place no interest in the Word of God? It's never introduced to our children. What are you and I doing, my friends, to focus on the Word of God? Because St. Paul talks about that the Word is near us. It's in our mouths and in our hearts. And the Word goes on to say this. The Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you given witness to this, my friends? Have you confessed to the fact that Jesus is Lord? When was the last time you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? In a public place, in a family circle? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord in your heart? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? And God is calling us, my friends, to stand up for our faith right here, like St. Paul. He is calling us to acknowledge the significance of the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that God raised him from the dead. And this Lenten season, which is all about truly the preparation for the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, giving us a pathway to eternal life with our Father in heaven. An event so powerful, the resurrection, that world time is based on that event, the year 2022. The Word goes on to say this, for one believes with his heart and so is justified, and one confesses with his mouth and so is saved. So we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that no one really moves forward towards Jesus unless the Father calls him. The Father moves him forward, inspired through the Holy Spirit, to move forward towards Jesus. We need to believe, my friends, with our hearts. And God says it in other places. He says, you know, with all your heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. He calls us to the heart, to believe with the heart and to be justified, and then to confess with the mouth, to verbalize it, to use the childlike phraseology, terminology, to show our faith, the faith of a child. God calls us to confess with our mouths to be saved. We must take action. We must make a commitment and a testimony so other people can hear it, but especially that God can hear it. It's not something that we don't have to do, my friends. God calls us to believe and to confess. He wants us to make that commitment to belief in Christ. He wants us to do it as children of the Most High, the Almighty. God calls us to many things. And he says in the Word right here, in the book of Romans that there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. So the Lord is there for all of us. He's there for every one of us to enrich all of us who call upon him. Who are we calling out to? Who are we making phone calls to, writing letters to, sending texts or emails to? Who is it that we're reaching out to day in and day out? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it someone else? Do we have our priorities straight, my friends? Is God first, or is he last on the list? The Father's showing us here that there's no difference between Jew or Greek. There's the same Lord as Lord of all throughout the world. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's powerful. And we are tested here to either remain silent or to confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And that's powerful. This is our faith. And it cannot be swept under the rug or put in a file or kept in our pockets or hidden in our jackets. It's something to be shared. It's one of the gifts that God has given us besides life itself. And the faith is to be nourished and should blossom. And in that, you know, process, we share the faith to touch the hearts and minds of other people so that they too will confess exactly what we're talking about here, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And the word in other places said, you know, every knee shall bend and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. The word of God is clear. It's calling us to give testimony and to be unafraid to do that. And to do it is a beautiful thing because we're going to be saved once we do confess. Okay? And get on board with that philosophy, that belief, that core within us. And the word of God has been written within our hearts. So again, St. Paul tells us the word of God says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart. Well, God put that word directly in our hearts. It's there. So we believe in our heart, but we need to be verbal. We need to confess it. We need to acknowledge it. Take a position in our faith and on the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to do it, and it's powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading coming up this weekend for the first Sunday of Lent. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And here it is. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours, if you worship me. Jesus said to him in reply, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you with their hands. They will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him in reply, It also says, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we see that the Lord is tested three times by the devil. And you and I, my friends, will be tested. And the Word says that, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you today, my friends? Are you cognizant of the Spirit's call, leading you in different directions, both positive and negative? And we know all good things come from God. So when you are led to the positive, the Holy Spirit is doing it. If it's good for God, good for your families, good for children, good for the people of the community, the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do something good. But if it's not good for God, not aligned with the Word of God, if it's not good for you or your family, if it's illegal, immoral, unethical, not one of the biblical principles that God gives us within the Word, it's probably coming from the devil himself. And there are many temptations that we will be vulnerable to because we are human. And the Lord himself was part human and part divine. And we see that in the Word, because after 40 days, the Lord became hungry. He wanted something to eat. And so we know that you and I, my friends, want to be more Christ-like. But you and I also will be tempted in our most vulnerable area. Our greatest weakness. You and I will be tempted, and we will be in a similar situation as the Lord himself was in the desert. So it's important that you and I be prepared for those temptations, and we learn how to avoid those temptations, to overcome them, to get around them. But we acknowledge it. As all good things come from God, some of these things will take us down. What is your greatest temptation or your most vulnerable area that you will give into? Think about it. Acknowledge it. Prepare for it. And avoid it at all cost. This is important. What must you do to overcome your greatest weakness or your most vulnerable area? What must you do? You have to have a strategy of avoidance. And this is critical. And Jesus goes on to say this. You and I, my friends, will be tempted by the devil. The Word says, The Lord was filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine. And he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days. all for one reason, to be tempted by the devil. So we will be tested with temptation. We will be tested, and we want to overcome that temptation. We want to do all that we can to be right with God. And during the Lenten season, we prepare through prayer and fasting and anything else we can do to help other people, to step it up, to give more time, quality time, our time, our talents, our treasures, to help other people. God calls us to this pathway as we prepare for the coming of the Easter season, the Resurrection Day, which is such an important time in the church, the most powerful and important holiday in the church, acknowledging the power of Jesus Christ over sin and over death and over the devil himself. And you and I, my friends, have to be willing to do whatever we can to strengthen ourselves for these temptations. Is it power, prestige, money? Is it sex, gambling, drugs or alcohol? What is your most vulnerable area, and what must you do to overcome it? And this is the beautiful thing about our Lord and God, is that he gives us the guidance and direction by showing himself and how he did it within the desert itself. For when he was tested the first time, he told the devil, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." He goes on to say this to the devil, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And he goes on to say that you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. This is the guidance and directions God has given us from the Word of God. And Jesus uses it to fend off the devil himself, Satan, Lucifer. You and I, my friends, have access to the Word of God once again. And we need to be involved within the Word of God. And our reading from St. Paul in the book of Romans confirms it, that the Word of God is powerful. It's within our hearts. Do we read it? Do we understand it? And do we apply it to everyday life? My friends, that's our show for today. Give it some thought. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day. And God bless you this Lenten season. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.